coming to you live from his padded cell high atop Bethel Church, the most heralded, the most despised talk show in all of human history. This is the talk show Hell Hates. This is Pastor Mike Online.
Coming to you live from the heart of Mid-America. This is Pastor Mike, and I'm online, and I'm live with you today. Good to be with you. And I'm going to consider myself still recovering from the COVID virus. I wouldn't say I'm infected any longer. Certainly not. I'm sort of out of the quarantine stage. And of course we had service Sunday and so on. I tried to do PMO yesterday. I just didn't have it in me. And I've got maybe just a little bit more energy today than I did yesterday. I'm not sure about tomorrow. We'll just see how tomorrow goes. But I had decided I spent enough time at home. 3 weeks actually turns out to be that we just didn't do anything. And what I'm going to do today is I'm just going to talk about what I went through, what some other people in our church went through with this, and I haven't heard from all of them, and some of them are recovering at different rates than others. And we still have one in the hospital, and that is Brother Sterling, my father-in-law, our head deacon, our chief elder, the one of the best men that we have in our church, and he is still in the hospital. They've moved him from the local hospital here to sort of a step-down unit that's going to help him with his breathing. Because he's still having a lot of problems breathing. And, so it has us, his family and his church family worried about him, and we're praying for him every day. And, we want him to get better and get out of the hospital and be completely done with it. And, let me tell you a little bit. Let me put some graphics on the screen for you. And I'm not going to be a full 2 hours today. I've got a meeting with Sister Jan today at 1, Brother Wayne's wife. And you pray for her and pray for all of her family and our church. It was quite a shock to all of us when we found out that Brother Wayne passed away. And so you continue to pray for her and lift her up if you would. I'll put this up on the screen here. You've undoubtedly seen the picture on the, let's see here, it'd be your left. And if I seem a little slow in thinking and talking, there's an article that I looked at yesterday, and it talked about the COVID brain fog. And I don't know if how much of that I have. I noticed Sunday, as I walked around, I was wobbly when I walk, and I just kind of noticed that, and I've noticed that I've just been a little slow and maybe responding to some things or whatever. Don't know if it's a permanent issue or what, but one of the things when you're sick like that is you lose track of time, dates. I had no idea some days what day it was. Whether it was Sunday, whether it was Wednesday, or whatever, had no idea. And when I finally realized I was sick and just sort of quarantined in our home, finally, when I get out, I can see all the leaves have changed, and I missed it. And I love the fall leaf change. I missed every bit of that. But anyway, you're used to seeing the picture there on the left. That's the what they call the coronavirus, the COVID-19 virus. And it is the one that was more than likely my feeling is, deliberately released. If not deliberately released, then somebody did a really, 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 really poor job of containing this virus that should have never gotten out. Now, I know not everybody's going to agree with everything that I say today, just bear with me, and I want you to believe the truth. I want you to trust in the truth. And I want you to go to the Word of God to seek these things out, whether or not they be true or not, or whatever. I've listened to a lot of rumors. Internet rumors. When I announced that I had, that I went and was tested for COVID and then came up positive, I was chewed out by somebody on Facebook who was not well-meaning at all. And there is a difference. Some of you were well-meaning in some of the comments that you were making about what you thought I should do concerning, you know, having COVID. And I'm not going to touch that. But this person was absolutely not well-meaning at all, because what they said was that God allowed me, or it's my fault that I got COVID because I didn't trust God and I went and got tested against God's will, and God let me get infected with COVID. And that is just, number one, it's ridiculous. It denies the grace of God, and it denies the things that our Savior told us. So when I finally got over this, I went on Facebook and blocked this person. I just don't put up with that stuff. I just don't. Somebody who befriends me on Facebook only so that they can have access to all of the other people that follow me, so they can put on their little petty little conspiracy dramas or whatever it is, or try to prove how I'm and everybody else is wrong. I just don't tolerate that at all. And if you want to be friends with me on Facebook, be friends with me on Facebook. Know that, number one, I don't read all the comments that people leave on there. Number two, I refuse to get into any arguments with people. This person here, I just see you later, alligator. I don't even know who. It's one of those people that won't give their real name on Facebook. And somebody like that, I don't know. I just got no use for. If you're not going to tell me who you are, and you're going to hide behind a fake name, a pseudonym, and not give out who you are, that, you know, that kind of tells me something about you. So anyway, the breakdown was on Sunday, September 13th, we had, I think Rose told me, our secretary told me, we had about 70 people here. It's great service. I mean, the Lord moved. And do I believe that the devil was behind this? Well, there's no doubt in my mind about it. Do I believe that God allowed it? Absolutely. Do I believe that we did something wrong, or that there was sin in our church or whatever? No, God has not made that clear to me. And it's just one of those things. God, you have to understand, God will allow. And the last watchman I've done back in September was on this issue. God allows God's people to be persecuted. It's the refining fires of what we are. It refines us, it molds us, it makes us. It is part of a fiery trial, which is to try us. And so God allowed it to happen. There's no doubt in my mind about it. And in that service, we had people who undertake varying measures of protection when it comes to being in a group. We have some who wear masks. Now, I don't enforce that, but I don't discourage it either. When people come in, I say, get that mask. I don't do that. because we have several elderly people here in our church. And as it turned out, several of them got it. And they can't afford to get any kind of sickness. So we don't deny anybody wanting to wear masks. In fact, we have a couple that generally will wear masks and they will wear gloves. Now, here's the interesting thing. They still got it. And now, do masks work? I would say to some degree, they do inhibit to some degree what comes in and out of the mouth. It does help. What happens is a virus will be in your body and it will be in your fluids. And any vapor that comes out of your mouth, there is likely to be virus particles there, what you see up on the screen. There is likely to be those little virus particles inside the moisture that's coming in and out of your lungs or in and out of your mouth. So when people cough or when people sneeze, I've seen people wear masks and pull their mask down so they could sneeze. You're doing it wrong. Okay? And but we had people here. We had some people here who didn't wear anything, didn't get sick, didn't get it at all. And some people who mask and gloves, and they got it. So is there any logic to it? I would say that there's no such thing as a 100% unless you're going to wear a hazardous material suit and a full hazardous biological respirator would be about the only way you could guarantee you're not going to get it. Jefferson County, Missouri is not under a mask mandate, or at least that I was, when I got sick, we weren't. So they were not making masks mandatory when you go in public in this county. But anyway, someone came that didn't know they had been in contact with somebody else who had been in contact with the virus, and it went very quickly through our congregation. As you know, we try to be friendly to people. We have a time, you know, when somebody comes in, everybody's shaking their hand, giving them hugs, and this and that and the other, and we have a part of the service where if you haven't shaken somebody's hand, now's the time to do it, and so on. And that's what we believe in. And I preached this last Sunday. It's what we believe in. To have a church where there is no fellowship, what's the purpose of it? Because one of the parts of a good church is that fellowship. You get a chance to talk to people. Get a chance to visit with them. Get a chance maybe to pray with them. See how how people are doing and so on. And so anyway, some people became aware from like the 13th on very quickly that they had it. We were notified the next day that somebody who was at our church service the 13th, September 13th, they did test positive for COVID. So we quickly just quarantined everybody in the church. We didn't have any, we didn't have a Wednesday night service. I didn't want to say it then, but I wasn't feeling all that great that Wednesday night. And then the next Sunday, which would be September the 20th, we, had a closed door service. It was just me here and Michael, who was running the cameras, and that was it. And I didn't say it at the time, but the week of the 13th, I started coughing. I knew that I had some congestion in my right lung and wasn't feeling the best. But I thought, well, maybe I just have an upper respiratory infection, because I had heard that some people did have from our church a cold or an upper respiratory infection. And so by that Sunday, the 20th, and we did the Sunday school and the Sunday morning service, I was running a fever and I knew it. So I'm glad nobody came, because I was full-blown COVID positive by then. I just didn't realize it. But I knew when I got up that Sunday morning, I didn't feel very good. And so I was running a fever. And my wife noticed that when I got home, that on the 20th, September the 20th, so we did the service and I went home, and I mean, I crashed. I slept probably 4 or 5 hours after I got home. Well, the next morning, I felt pretty good, and I thought, well, maybe it was just a passing thing or whatever. But my wife suggested, why don't you go get tested? Because, we got all these people showing up now that was at that service Sunday that are testing positive for COVID. So I want you to go get tested. So I went that Monday morning, and that Monday morning I wasn't running any fever and I didn't really have any congestion. And so, went to the local, I'm slow today. It's not an emergency room. Anyway, these little medical places are popping up. Urgent care, that's what I'm thinking of. So I went to urgent care and told them that I had actually been in contact with someone who was COVID positive, and I had, the day before I had run into fever and so on. So they tested me, and then when I got home later that day, those symptoms started popping back up again. My fever went back up, had the congestion in one of my lungs. And so then by the next day, Tuesday, I woke up and I felt probably the worst I've ever felt in my life. And I noticed that I had lost most of the sensation in my mouth. I've lost most of my taste, not all, but most of it, and a sense of smell. And I knew that was one of the definite symptoms. My daughter had it several months before that. She told us that was one of the symptoms. And I went, I think I've got it. There's no doubt about it. And my test results, I got tested on Monday, but my test results didn't come in till Thursday. Well, Thursday morning. By Thursday morning, you don't need to test me. I know I have it. And so the test came back positive that I was COVID positive. Now, let me say a couple of things that I've heard some rumors about. Number one, this is not just another cold. It is not just another cold. I've had colds before. I've had upper respiratory infections before. I've had bronchitis before. I've had strep throat before. I've had pneumonia before. I've had all of these things, and I'm telling you, it's not just another cold. There is nothing that I've ever had that matches having COVID. Nothing. It is probably the most sick I have ever been in my life. The feeling that you get all over, and I didn't have the full body aches that other people had. I didn't have those. I had some pain in my lower back, which is normal for me. And I attributed that to the fact that I was laying in bed almost all the time. And we have an adjustable bed, so I'm able to adjust the legs and the head and everything else for a little bit better comfort. But those who had the full body aches along with this, my heart goes out to you, because as bad as I felt, I didn't hurt all over like some people did. And but some people have that, and they say that's is one of the worst parts of it. My mother ended up with it, and I was very worried about her. And I called her a couple days after she found out she had it, and she told me that when she woke up that morning, that she had just she was just drenched in sweat. And that she was going to have to change out the sheets in her bed because the smell was just horrible. And I said, Mom, you don't know. You don't have to do that. She said, trust me, I do. And I said, well, let somebody come over and do it. She said, nobody's coming near me. And I didn't understand until the first real night that I had it. I woke up the next day, same thing, drenched in sweat. And it is an awful smell. Oh, it's terrible. So I went, well, maybe that's why she did. But anyway, I can't quite remember when it was I went in the hospital. But my wife kept checking on me every day. Do you need to go to the hospital? No, I don't need to go to the hospital. Do you have pneumonia? No, I don't have pneumonia. Well, I thought maybe that I did. I just didn't want to scare her. And but at some point, it just became pretty difficult to breathe. And if you've ever had pneumonia, you know, you just take any kind of deep breath and it just kills you to breathe that deep. So by the time I went to the hospital and they took a look at me and x-rayed my lungs and everything like this, said, yeah, you've got double pneumonia. And I went, oh, my goodness. And so I think they kept me in the hospital maybe 4 days. Now, with the loss of smell and the loss of taste, it's not a complete loss. There are some things that you can taste, some things you can smell. But everybody gets a different taste in their mouth. Somebody described that they had like an old rancid bacon grease taste in their mouth. Ugh. With me, it was like old, wet, moldy cardboard in my mouth. And nothing on God's green earth smells good. Nothing does. It's hard to explain. But everything stinks in this world. And so and some people experience this. You don't want to eat anything. You have absolutely zero appetite. None whatsoever. And I didn't want to eat. There was nothing that I wanted in my mouth, period. And as it progressed, then I started getting these bouts of nausea. And without being too graphic, once I realized I was getting the onset of nausea again, I realized I had about 5 seconds to find a trash can of some kind or some sort of container. Because it was coming up, and I didn't know that that was part of it. Maybe it's not part of it with everybody, but it was with me. And so just about every day I would have little bouts of nausea throughout the day. Definitely by then you don't want anything in your mouth. You don't want anything in your stomach. And I know I probably lost 20, 25 pounds, something like that, after having not eaten for about 3 weeks. Excuse me, you lose weight. And I had some to lose anyway. But one of the things that I didn't want to do was just become dehydrated. Because you can get dehydrated quicker than you can be malnourished. And so I started looking then for something that I could pour down in me. And with me, it was ice water. Couldn't be room temperature water. It had to be ice water. And none of the other things that I like to drink, like Gold Peak tea or anything like that, nothing like that. I didn't want anything like that in me. And so I found myself trying to drink about as much ice water as I could just to keep myself from being dehydrated. When I was checked into the hospital, that's one of the things that they didn't necessarily have to do for me, was treat me for dehydration. Was I had kept myself fairly hydrated. So anyway, I finally got out of the hospital, got back home, and I'm the psychological effect of it is sort of like this. You just wonder, when am I going to feel good again? Because every day that you go through this is you're absolutely miserable beyond description. And like I said, it's not a cold. I've had a cold before. And it's also not a bacteria. Bacteria has a different signature in the body. It produces a different response in the body. It is a virus in every sense of the word, and I'm going to explain to you a little bit from the scripture what a virus is, what it does, and why it's so deadly. Now, I'm also going to throw this in because I had some people question when President Trump ended up being tested COVID positive, and he was given a what's called an antibody cocktail from a company called Regeneron. Now, understand that I feel so bad, so lousy, so terrible, I don't feel like researching anything. I don't feel like looking anything up. I don't feel like watching, you know, 2 hours worth of YouTube videos on some conspiracy subject. So if you sent me something like that, I guarantee you I didn't watch it. You just don't feel like it. You don't feel like watching TV. You don't feel like watching anything. The majority of what I did was sleep. Now, whether it was a sort of a drug-induced sleep, I have a little muscle relaxer I take at night, or it's just your body can't stay awake because it's wore out. It's fighting this virus. That's mostly what I did. And, you know, bless her heart, my wife would come in and say, "You need to get up." "Honey, I don't want to get up." "You need to get up. Don't want to get blood clots." "Okay, I'll get up." I'd get up, walk around a little bit, lay back down, go back to sleep. But when I heard that the president had COVID and that he was given a medicine from a company called Regeneron, and I had some people who I don't know if they actually found this somewhere or was concerned about it or what the president took was going to rewrite his DNA. Now, understand, I still believe that. I believe at some point everybody on this planet is going to be altered. Now, I don't think, in fact, I'm going to say this. I know 100% that it's not going to be slipped into our tea. It's not going to be accidentally or done on purpose in our Ritz crackers where we won't know it. It's not going to be in some pill that the government comes out with or some pharmaceutical company comes out with that your doctor prescribed you that all of a sudden you got your DNA changed and you didn't know it. People, Jesus Christ loves his church, and he promised that he would never leave us nor forsake us. He promised us in Matthew 24 and other places that he would not let us be deceived. And I'm going to tell you, it's not going to be YouTube that figures it out for you. It's not going to be some guy on YouTube making stuff up, spreading rumors around, that's going to warn everybody about the mark of the beast. We're going to know it from the Word of God. We're going to know it. Okay? Stop, people. Stop living in fear. Stop living in fear that everything, the way it is right now, and yeah, I'm a little perturbed. The way it is right now, everything that happens in this world has some sort of conspiracy hooked into it, and none of us are going to escape it except the ones who watched this particular YouTube video or went or saw this particular Facebook post. People, stop living in that kind of fear. God has not given us that spirit of fear, but of power and of love, because he loves us, and of a sound mind. Sound mind, meaning sound doctrine, meaning stuff that holds up under the weight of scrutiny and reason. Stop thinking that everything that happens, somebody's trying to slip you the mark of the beast, and unless you had watched all these 48 hours of YouTube videos, you would have never figured it out. Stop being that way. The truth is not on YouTube. It's not on Facebook. It's not on somebody's blog where they're hitting, bombarding you with advertisements. I've said that over and over and over again. Start reading your Bible. Start reading your Bible. And you won't be afraid anymore. You'll start believing these promises that are in this book. And you won't be afraid of every little thing that jumps out and says boo at you on the internet. Some of you spend way too much time on there anyway. Okay? And yeah, I'm on the internet right now. And I'm telling you, you're spending way too much time on there. Now, what it turns out that Trump took, had it been offered me, I would have taken it. You have no idea how sick I was, or anybody else is for that matter. Okay? And they said that as it was going in, he could feel it. He could feel it. Now, what was given him was called an antibody cocktail. And so I did a little bit of research on this, and it was a combination of several things that they already had on the shelf that they figured out to combine. Now, an antibody is this. An antibody is what destroys this. Okay? Give me my pen. An antibody is what destroys this. When the body detects that viruses are there, the white blood cells, this is the war that goes on in your body every day. The white blood cells dispatch antibodies to start attacking that virus or that cell that's infected with that virus. Whenever your body temperature rises, you know what that's from? That's your body trying to kill that virus. That virus has a temperature tolerance. It can only abide in certain favorable conditions. And when the body's heat rises, it is a response to trying to kill that virus by producing an unfavorable condition for that virus to live. That's the purpose of it. Then the antibodies attack, and the antibodies show up, and they start. You've seen my teaching on the blood, where the phagocytes white blood cells recognize what's going on. They recognize the attacker, and they attack. They chew it up, consume it, make it as if it had never been there before. And then they remember it. They remember what shape that virus was in, what form it took, what signature it had, so that if it gets infected again, it remembers it. Now, one of the neat things I liked about what they gave President Trump was that part of the antibody mixture that they gave him was to prevent the COVID virus from escaping. How does a virus escape an attack? It changes its appearance. Think about that. Dun, dun, dun. It does. It changes its appearance. It alters its RNA signature so that the attack, which is designed specifically to deal with this particular, and that's what a virus is. It is a strand of RNA in a little capsule designed to protect it. The capsule, as in the case of the coronavirus here, see all these little sticker things here? They're designed to latch on to the cells in your body so it can open it up. Okay? That's what this is. This is like got like a little stinger that comes out and injects the RNA into the cell itself. Okay? Once inside the cell, the RNA sort of starts using the resources of the cell to reproduce itself. It's cheating, is what it's doing. It's trying to reproduce itself by, once it gets inside your cell, it uses up whatever resources the cell has, and it tries to duplicate itself so that it can live beyond just that one cell. So anyway, what they gave Trump was, part of it was designed to keep the COVID virus from changing its appearance, from changing its RNA signature, so that it couldn't escape the antibody attack that was heaped upon it. Now, that's all that what they gave him was. That's all it was. It was not some mechanism to alter human DNA. And let me say this again. Human DNA is just like every other living creature's DNA. By its very design, it is nearly impossible to alter permanently. Not impossible, but nearly impossible. Your DNA in your body gets corrupted tens of thousands of times per day by solar radiation, pollutants in the air, things we eat, good, both good and bad. Just living in this world, you have to understand, people die because of sin. Sin has entered into this world, and people are going to die from it. And it affects Christians and non-Christians alike. Death happens to us all, people. But your body has a correction mechanism that if your DNA gets altered or corrupted by solar radiation or the atmosphere or what, just from normal life, then the body has a way to correct that DNA and to discard the DNA that's been corrupted. It gets rid of it. Now, when cancer happens because it overwhelmed the body's ability to rewrite the DNA. And there's another thing, I'm trying to remember this. Programmed cell extermination or something like that, where every cell in your body is designed to die after so many hours of life. Okay? That's programmed into it. Programmed cell death is what I'm trying to think of. Well, with cancer, whatever has altered the cell has also taken out its ability to die. So that's why cancer tumors grow to the size that they grow if they're not stopped somehow, is because programmed cell death has been taken away from those cells. Anyway, now back to viruses. The Sunday that I slept late that Sunday. I noticed that people have been trying to call me, and that's when I found out that Brother Wayne had died. And immediately I went, oh no. And there was just so many unknowns at the time, you know, when the funeral was going to be and so on. And I was so sick that morning, just from the virus and from being nauseated, that I talked to Jan a little bit on the phone, and that's about all I could muster. And I couldn't hardly talk because I was so sick. And but I talked to the Lord about it, and by, I would say, probably by Wednesday and Thursday, definitely, I could tell that the virus had broken. I was not running a fever any longer. My sense of flavor and smell was returning, and so on. And so Friday was able to do Wayne's funeral service. Not 100%. I was really struggling. Those of you who know me, you know I probably was struggling emotionally with Brother Wayne's loss, and for Sister Jan, but struggling also physically because I just didn't have very much in me at all. So anyway, that was my time of imprisonment on the COVID virus. I will tell you this. I'm going to be like President Trump. I'll never tell you to go get a COVID vaccine because I don't know that I trust most of them, okay? But if you can avoid getting COVID, avoid it at all costs. Avoid it like the plague. No pun intended, no joke intended. Avoid it. If it angers you to have to wear a mask somewhere, just ask yourself the question, because it did me. It did me. I'll be honest with you. I've changed my mind. Now, they don't know whether or not I can get COVID again. What I know is I don't want it again, ever. I never want this virus again in my lifetime, or anything like it. So I've kind of softened my attitude a little bit on wearing masks. In other words, my wife doesn't have to make me wear a mask anymore. If I go into a grocery store, I put a mask on. Why? I don't want it again. And I don't know where those people have been. Okay, especially Walmart. Walmart to me is like a leper colony. Okay? Yeah. So anyway, my advice to you is avoid catching COVID. Wearing a mask, hand sanitizing, all of that stuff. Now, I know that's not popular. This is America. We have a right. I get it. I get it. I told you about being at IKEA, and that manager at IKEA standing over me like she was my kindergarten teacher, making me put my mask over my nose. That irritated me. All that irritated me. Nobody has to ask me now to put my mask over my nose anymore. Okay? Nobody has to do that with me anymore. I will put it on voluntarily because I've had it. Don't know if I can get it again or not. Don't want to take the chance. So that's pretty much how it's going to be. And again, I'm saying this as your pastor, as your friend, as a brother in Christ. There's nothing, people listen now, come now, let us reason together. There's nothing sinful about wearing a mask. And I have seen people make YouTube videos. Did you know the pagans all wore masks? Pagans wore masks in their ceremonies. Yeah, pagans eat pancakes too. Just thought I'd throw that in. Pagans eat pancakes. Does that mean it's evil to eat pancakes? No. Okay. And it's not evil to wear a mask. It's not evil to hand sanitize. None of these things are unbiblical. None of these things are sinful. None of these things are unscriptural. So you do what you want to do. This is a free country. And I meant what I said Sunday. We practiced our religion Sunday to Sunday here at this church. At least 23 people that I know of ended up with the virus. So we've paid our price. We've paid our dues. Doing what we believe in, which is coming into God's house and worshiping Him. And so in the future, again, I'm not going to prohibit anybody from coming in. It's not wearing a mask. I'm not going to make anybody wear a mask. I'm not going to tell anybody, oh, you're wearing a mask, you can't come here because we don't do that here. I'm not going to do that. That's not reasonable. Doesn't make sense. And but we will at some point begin to gather ourselves back together again as a church body. And we will do what we feel like God is wanting us to do. So anyway, I was going to talk some more. Let me do this. That's what a virus is. Okay? 1 Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. That's what a virus is. A virus in bodily form attacks the cells of the body, and with its little RNA, think of little devils, because these devils are angels, evil angels, and the word angel means messenger. And RNA, which is what a virus is, it's a little strand of RNA. It's messenger RNA. It's got an evil message to it, something that is contrary. Listen to this. Something that is contrary to the good of the body. That's what a virus is. And in this, Paul said it right. Be not deceived. Now, that goes, are you listening? That goes to about 99% of what's on the internet. Be not deceived. Because some of you are. You spend way too much time researching and using that as some sort of excuse instead of reading what God said in His Word. And I'm just going to encourage you, read God's Word. It is the only known antidote to the virus of false doctrine, evil communications, because they will corrupt good manners. I found out yesterday that an old nemesis of mine and this ministry is back at it, not quite back at it, but he's out of prison. Jim Staley, the former head of, I forgot what ministry so-called he had, but it was a total Kabbalah Hebrew roots ministry. He's out of prison now. And he's got a 45-minute video of him and his wife talking about their big plans and how they're going to relaunch the ministry and how they're going to reach all over the world and how the people. That guy is still dangerous. He's still a false prophet. And he hasn't started making new videos yet. But when he does, I'm going to be on it. Okay? Because we've lost people to the Hebrew roots lie. And it is a lie. It's a false doctrine and a false gospel. Anybody that falls for it, better watch out. The Bible calls them damnable heresies. And that phrase, damnable heresy, number one, applies, number one, to the heresy is damnable. And number two, anybody who buys into the heresy is damnable. And I don't want to see that happen to people who at one time knew the truth, because I know what the Bible says. In fact, I'll pull this up and then I'm going to get out of here because I'm wore out. Let's see here. 1 Peter, maybe. No, 2 Peter. Chapter 2, verse 20. Let me put that up on the screen for you and I'm going to adios out of here. Here's what happens. Watch this. The effects of the false doctrine virus, Hebrew roots virus. Verse 19, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better, and you listen to your Bible, it had been better for them to not to have known the way of righteousness, than after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. And God is saying, it would have been better for you to not have heard the gospel of truth at all, than for you to hear of it and then immediately get turned, or within some time get turned over to Hebrew roots or some form of law keeping or Roman Catholicism or Seventh-day Adventism or any of those other kind of isms that you can fall for. And a lot of these people that you follow on YouTube, you have not yet seen the lies that they've got prepared to tell you. They're hiding them right now because they have to. They just can't come right out and say it. You won't buy into it. They have to build you into it. And they'll do it by pulling at strings they know you're looking for on the internet. Like COVID virus and Mark of the Beast and Bill Gates is the Antichrist and all of that stuff. Okay? They know you're looking for that kind of stuff. They're going to make videos on those things right there. You're going to fall for it. You're going to start listening to them. And before too long now, you're going to start listening to their false doctrine. It's like the people that follow the health ranger, Mike Adams. That guy knows that much about Bible doctrine, the mark of the beast, salvation, God's grace. But according to him, he's an expert on it. And anybody that doesn't follow his rules of health, you're going to get the mark of the beast, according to him. And I'm telling you, people, because I love you, I'm your pastor, be careful. Quit watching some of that garbage you're watching. Quit reading some of those posts you're reading. Unfriend about 100 people and see what happens. Okay? Stand up for the truth, believe the truth, trust in the truth, and trust only in the truth. And the truth will make you free. You are the reason, I guarantee you, you're the reason why I'm here right now doing what I'm doing. I missed you. I loved you. I appreciate your prayers for me. Continue them for those. We have some that are still kind of recovering from this. I am myself. So just pray for them and ask for God to bless them, all right? I love you. We'll see you. Think Bible.